Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Zayin. We're learning today Li'ilui Nishmas Haimin Lukin, Chaim Yitzhak Ben David. All the Nishamas we've learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin with the Mishnah, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, about a quarter of the way down. And the Mishnah tells us, Balo Lemizrach HaAzara, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur morning, goes now after he's done the Korban Tomid, and he is now going to do the Sar LaShem and the Sar LaZozel. So he's going to go and select out which one goes where. So where does he go? He goes to the Mizrach of the Azara, right by the Shar Niknor, as you enter, going from east to west, as you enter into the Azara, into the 11 Amah of the Ezer Sisral. So he goes to the northern aspect of that area, to the Mizrach of the Azara, the easternmost part of the Azara, Litzvon HaMizbeach, and he goes to the north of the Mizbeach. Now he's obviously not between the Mizbeach and the actual northern wall, because it said he's in the most easternmost part of the Azara. But he has to be north of the Mizbeach, so he's on the northern half. This implies that the Mizbeach is entirely on the southern side, because it says that he's to the north of the Mizbeach. And the Gemara will discuss this more. And the Kohen Gadol stands there, Haskan Miyamino, the Skan Kohen Gadol, the one who would replace the Kohen Gadol if he became Tomei, stands to his right. The Rosh base of Mismolo, and the head of the base Av that was supposed to be working that week, there were shifts, the 24 Mishmaros, and each shift had the division of that shift, that Mishmar, into six base Av, Bote Av, the one that worked on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They all worked together on Shabbos, so there wasn't the seventh base Av. That's the common understanding. There's one Rashi in one place that says there were seven Batei Av, but Rashi elsewhere says there were only six, and the common understanding is there were six Batei Av. So whichever day of the week Yom Kippur fell on, the head of that Beis Av would go and stay to the left of the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara will discuss the positioning of the Skan Kohen Gadol to the right and the head of the Beis Av to the left. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us. And over there, they brought the Shnei Seirim. They had to be identical. We'll learn more about this as we go through the Masechta. The Shom Shnei Seirim, they brought the two goats that would be over there, male goats. The Kalfi Haisa Shom, and they had a lottery box there. Ubar Shnei Garolos, and they put in two lots. They put in two pieces of wood. We'll see it started off that they were made out of Ashkara, a certain type of fancy wood. Ubar Shnei Garolos, they put these two Garolos, these two lotteries, these two lots inside this box. Shel Ashkara Haya, this is a certain type of wood. Rashi tells us that this was made out of a wood known as Ashkarin. It was a fancy type of a wood. We'll see subsequently it was changed to gold, as the Mishnah tells us. The Asan Ben Gamla Shel Zav. Ben Gamla changed it from this wood, which was a fancy, nice wood, but he changed it into gold. And the Chazal, the rabbi, said this was a very praiseworthy thing that Ben Gamla did. Who was Ben Gamla? So we mentioned him early in the Masechta. Ben Gamla actually was a Kohen Gadol, but it said he was chosen by the Melech to be the Kohen Gadol. In other words, his wife, who was Marta, she was a very nice and wonderful woman. She was a widow, very wealthy widow, and she married Ben Gamla, and she wanted him to be the Kohen Gadol. Now, he was actually very deserving of being the Kohen Gadol, but he wasn't the greatest. And therefore, the king appointed him because Marta gave money, and that's why Ben Gamla became the Kohen Gadol. But he was nismaneh by the Melech, as opposed to being the most worthy Kohen to become the Kohen Gadol. But he was a great person, and he was Zochel HaTov. The rabbi said what he did by making the kalfi, this lottery box, and the two lotteries inside of it, out of gold, that was a wonderful thing, very praiseworthy thing to do. Once we started praising Ben Gamla, so we also mentioned various other great personalities that were Zochel HaTov, that were also mentioned being very praiseworthy. So Ben Kotin, Rashi tells us, was also Kohen Gadol. The Miri tells us it was in the Bayesheni period of time. So Ben Kotin also, Shneim Osor Dad LaKiyor. Ben Kotin made 12 spigots for the Kiyor. The Kiyor was the big washing basin. Originally only had two, Shlo El Shnayim, originally with two. One on the top, as the Gemara will tell us, that they used in the morning, and then when the water decreased, they used the bottom one for the washing for the Tomid Shobein HaRabayim. But he said there were 13 Kohanim that are involved in bringing the Korban Tomid Shel Shachris. So the one who did the Shechita didn't have to wash Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, because technically he didn't have to be a Kohen. He could even be a Yisrael. So therefore, he didn't have to wash Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, so the other 12 positions for the Korban Tamid were utilized, all the Kohanim could wash at the same time, and this would save time, and it was more b'chavadik. Originally, it only had two, and he made it into 12. They called dadim because they're like a woman's breast in terms of their shape, and they were spigots that each of the Kohanim could wash Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. He also did something else that was very praiseworthy. He made a special type of muchni, is like a machine, a pulley. But the word English word machine comes from the Lashon of muchni. So he made a special type of a pulley or some sort of a wheel, a galgal, that allowed all of the water in the kior to be put back into the well that it came from. And this way, there wouldn't be a problem of lina of this water being outside the well at night, therefore it become pasul in the morning. It was pasnish. It was just inappropriate to make something be over lina on purpose. So therefore, they put it back into the well, and there, this way it didn't become pasul by lina. So this was a very great thing that he did as well. He made this mechanism, this pulley or a lever or wheel that would be able to go and lower all the water in the kior back into the well, and this way it didn't become possible. Shelo yu meimav nifsalim b'lina, and this way it never was possible by lina. Now they tell us that Munbas HaMelech, Munbas was a great king. His mother was Hilni Amalka, and Hoya Oseh Kol Yados HaKelim, and he made all the handles, as we'll see. The Gemara will explain why he didn't make the whole keli, because it's talking about kelim like a knife or an axe, which you can't make the actual knife or axe part out of gold, because that would ruin it. It wouldn't be able to function. So, but he made all the handles of these kelim out of gold. Hoya Oseh Kol Yados HaKelim, Shel Yom HaKippur Mishel Zov, for Yom Kippur, he made them all out of gold, and that was a very praiseworthy thing to do. Likewise, Hilni Imo, Hilni his mother, the Malka Hilni, she also saw Nivresha Shelzov. She made a certain type of decorative candelabra-like structure that would have the light shine off it, and everybody would know when it was Man Kriyashma in the morning, as the Gemara will explain. And she did this at Pesach Heichel. It was right over the opening to the Heichel, and it was there, very visible to all the people in Yerushalayim. It shone brilliantly. She also did something else that was very praiseworthy. He also saw Tavla Shulzov. She made a golden tablet that had on it Parsha Sota Kisuvola, that the words of the Parsha of the Sota could be written on it. So then Nebuchadnezzar Sota ever came, and they had to write the Parshios of Sota and then erase it and put it into the May Sota for her to drink. So they didn't have to take out a Sefer Torah to do this, but they just had the tablet with the entire Parsha written on it. Tomorrow we'll discuss how they're allowed to do this. You're not allowed to really write down Torah Shebichsav, except the entire Torah Shebichsav. So the Gemara explains that they did this with an abbreviated type of the Parshios. In any event, the Parsha Sota was written on this golden tablet, and this was also Zocheh Latov, that she was praiseworthy for doing this. And finally, the last of the praiseworthy people that our Mishnah tells us was the great Nicanor. Nicanor, Nasu Nisim L'dal Sosov, he brought doors from Alexandria Mitzrayim, and these doors were very special doors that were used for the Sha'arim, for the opening for the doors into the Azara from the Ezras Noshim. You went through the Sha'ari Niknor and entered into the Ezras Yisrael. So Nasu Nisim L'dal Sosov, these doorways, a great nace happened to them, either one of two things, the Gemara will tell us, either when they were thrown overboard, one of them just came along with the boat, or a huge creature swallowed it and brought it to Eretz Yisrael and then spit it out. In any event, since the nace was done with these doors, they were never replaced. And all of these people, Vayu Maskirin Osun L'Shvach, Ben Gabla, Ben Kotin, Munbaz, Hilni Amalka, and Nicanor were all very praiseworthy. We'll have a upcoming Mishnah. We'll say there were others that were not as praiseworthy, but we'll see that even the ones that are considered not as praiseworthy were not necessarily bad. They had a reason for doing what they'll do. Min Sashim, we'll see this in the upcoming Mishnah. Gemara starts off and says, we started off our mission telling us the Kohen Gadol and the Skan Kohen Gadol and the Rosh Beis Av, they stayed in the easternmost part of the Azara, in the northern aspect, right outside Shar Niknor. So, since it says they were north of the Mizbeach, that implies that the entire Mizbeach was in the southern aspect of the Azara, none of it stretched into the northern aspect of the Azara. Now, this contradicts what we said in yesterday's Mishnah, and I had explained then that there were three different opinions as to where the Mizbeach was. And clearly, our Mishnah seems to indicate that the Mizbeach was entirely in the south. There's an opinion that says it was half in the south, half in the north, and then there's an opinion that says it was more in the north. But clearly, our Mishnah seems to say that Mikad Mizbeach La B'tzof Unkoi goes according to the opinion that it was entirely in the south. Whose opinion is this, Mani? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. This is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We learned in a braisa the Tanya, Sofonu Lefnei Hashem. The whole pasuk is V'shochad Oso Al Yerach HaMizbeach Sofonu Lefnei Hashem. And then V'zarku Bnei Aaron HaKohanim is the Moal HaMizbeach Sovid. So what does this seem to say? Sofonu Lefnei Hashem means she hates Sofon Kulo Ponui. You want to have as much space as possible to shecht all the Kachi Kadoshim Korbanos. So you want nothing in the northern area, as it is you have a number of things in the northern area, all the hooks and the pillars. So you want to keep the northern area as free as possible to make sure that there's enough room to shecht all the Kachi Kadoshim Korbanos, which must be shechted in the north. So therefore, the entire Mizbeach was in the south, to allow Sheyitzofun Kulo Ponui. As much as possible, the north should be open to shecht Korbanos. And this is the opinion of Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, v'horeisha, but in yesterday's Mishnah, v'horeisha, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, we had said that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds that when we set up the power of the Kohen Gadol, so we said that it was opposite the Mizbeach, meaning that the Mizbeach was already in the north. They were right by the Mizbeach. That implies the Mizbeach was in the north. So the Gemara says, how could that be? The reisha is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, and the seifa was saying is now Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Where it says, no, in fact, yesterday's Mishnah, we're now going to revise. And we say, yesterday's Mishnah, Kula, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even when we said that the Kohen stood Bein Ulam LaMizbeach, it doesn't mean that he was literally between the Ulam and Mizbeach. He was in the space that was between the Ulam and Mizbeach, but not directly there, but he was more north. Kula, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because V'tani, the Bein Ulam LaMizbeach, meant that he was in that area that was corresponding to the Bein Ulam and Mizbeach, but he was north of it, so he wasn't directly in between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Okay. And then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Askan b'yemino v'rosh b'esav b'smolo. We said that the Skan Kohen Gadol stands to the right of the Kohen Gadol, and the Rosh b'esav stands to his left. Omer Yehuda. Yehuda says, Hamahalech li'min rabo harezabur. If a person walks to the right of his Rebbe, so then that person is considered an ignoramus. He's a boor. So how can you tell us that the Skan Kohen Gadol specifically stood to the right of the Kohen Gadol? This is problematic because we learned in our Mishnah Tanan, Haskan b'yemino v'rosh b'esav b'smolo. Furthermore, besides the fact that here the Skan stood to the right of the Kohen Gadol and the Rosh Beisav stood to the left, we have a Beferish Brice which says when three people are walking together, so Harabi Yensa, the Gadol, the Rebbe, stands in the middle, and Gadol Bimino, the next greatest one, stands to his right, and the least greatest of the three stands to the left. And we likewise for further support for this. When Avram was visited by the three angels, so the three angels were all varying in greatness. Michael was the greatest angel, so he was Biensa, he stood in the middle. And Gabriel, who was the next greatest angel, Biemino, was to his right. Raphael, who was the next greatest angel, stood to his left. So how can Rabbi Yehuda say that any time that a Talmud is walking with the Rebbe, if he stands to the right, he's a boor? We just gave three examples. Our Mishnah with the Skan Kohen Gadol, and we have the Brice that tells us a Rebbe should have his star pupil to his right, and then the second best pupil to the left, and the three Malachi Asharis visiting Avraham Avinu. So they stayed in this order as well. So what's Rabbi Yehuda talking about? So Gemara answers, Targuma Rav Shmuel Bar Papa, Kameh Rav Ada. The answer that was given by Rav Shmuel Bar Papa in the name of Rav, in front of Rav Ada, was Kidei Shiskasabo Rabo. That they should walk not directly all the same, but that the Rebbe should be somewhat in front, and they should be covered up somewhat by the Rebbe. Gemara says, but that's not true. Votanya Hamahalet Kineged Rabo Rezabur. And Achore Rabo Hareza Migase Ruach. So not only does it say you shouldn't walk right next to the Rebbe, but it says even if you walk behind the Rebbe, if you walk next to the Rebbe, you're a boor, you're an ignoramus. And if you walk behind the Rebbe, you're considered an arrogant person. You're a Gase Ruach. So the Gemara says, no, Dimitzade, that's Tude. You don't walk directly behind the Rebbe, you walk a little bit to the right. So therefore, you're not even with the Rebbe, but you're in a chavadik position, a little bit behind the Rebbe, and if there are three people, so the greater one walks to the right. If there are only two people, so then the Talmud should be to the left of the Rebbe, so he has his right hand free to assist the Rebbe as needed. Okay. That's how we reconcile Rabbi Yehuda's statement with our Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, "V'kabi yisa shabu boshne gorelos." They had this wooden lottery made out of ashkara wood, and there were two lotteries inside of it, two lots inside of it, and they would have one of them was written Hashem, and the other one was written Lazazel, and the coin would pull out, and if it turned out Hashem in his right hand, so the skan coin gadol said, "The soil Hashem." If it turned out that the soil Hashem was his left hand, so then the Rosh Beisav would announce it. Now the Gemara starts off and tells us the following braisa, Toni Rabbanon, Vinosin Aro Noshne Hasirim Gorolos, and the pasuk continues, Vigorol Echod Lashem, Vigorol Echod Lazozel. So that's the whole pasuk. Now, we're going to darshan a lot of things from this pasuk. So the first thing where it says is Gorolos Shokol Dovar. The fact that it says, he put the on the Shnei Hasirim Gorolos, so this tells us that they could be made out of any material. They ended up making it originally out of a fancy wood, and then ultimately we said that they made it out of gold. Yachol shnayim alzeh u'shnayim alzeh. I might have thought, since it says the word gorolos in plural, that you would have two of the lotteries on one soyer and two of the lotteries on the other soyer. Now, the simple way you would think that this would be done is that you would write the same Hashem twice, and you'd put it on one of them, and you'd write the same Lazazel twice, and you'd put it on the other one. That seems to be what Tosos says will be a mashma. The top Tosos, Dachi Pir Ushnaim Shekosav Aleim Lashem, and Ushnaim Shalazazel. Then he brings down that maybe other opinions that you have both the Lashem and Lazazel on each one. In any event, that's what the Gemara's question is. Therefore, it says Talmud Lomar. That's why the pasuk continues and says there were Shnei Sirim Gorolos, but Gorol Echad Lashem, but Gorol Echad Lazazel. And therefore, Ein Kan Lashem El Gorol Echad, Ein Kan Lazazel Elo Echad. Now, that answers that. Yochol yitin shalshem v'shalazazel alzeh. But still, I might have said that you should put both Lashem and Lazazel on each one. V'shalshem v'shalazazel alzeh. And then you can, whichever one is selected, so you take that lottery and you say, that's the one that's on it. So Talmud Lomar, no, it says, Gorol Echad. Now we add the words as well, Lashem. Ein kan Lashem elo echad. Ein kan Lazazel elo echad. So therefore, that's what we put out, one goral on each of them. One of them has the word Lashem on it, and one of them has the word Lazazel on it. So then Gemara says, so why you need the word goralos? Why is it plural? Imke matamaloma goralos. So it teaches us, shiyu shavin, that the two lotteries should be exactly the same. The two lots that you put there should be identical. You shouldn't make, shalo yase echo shalzov, echo shalkesa, don't make one out of gold, one out of silver. You think, make Lashem out of gold, and the other one out of silver. Or echo gold, echo kata, one is larger, one is smaller. Don't do that. Now the Gemara says, let's go back and darshan this braisa. Gorolos shall call davar. We started off and said the word gorolos implies that you can make this lottery box and the lots out of any material. So Gemara says, pshita, it doesn't say in the Torah that it had to be done out of a specific material. So Gemara says, lo tzricha. No, you need to tell me this because l'cha d'tanya, because we have another braisa that tells us, l'fisha matzinu batzitz. The tzitz was the frontlet that the kohen gadol wore. And Shashem Kosovolov, it had the word Lahashem on it. And therefore, Vuhu shows up, and that was made out of gold. So I might have said, Yochel Avzeh Kain, when you have the word Lashem, so it has to be out of gold. So I might have thought that therefore it must be made out of gold. Therefore, Talmud Lomar, Gorol. Gorol tells us a lot of things. Gorol Reba Shalzayis, it tells us it can be made out of wood. Reba shall egos, or can be made out of almond type of a tree, or Reba shall ashkara, or can be made out of this type of a wood known as ashkara. So from this pasuk we darshan a lot of things. Then we quote the Mishnah where it says, Ben Katan also shnei also dad, lakir v'chule, we zocha latov, Ben Katan made, instead of having the two, like it originally was, as the Mishnah said, he made 12 spigots. Tana, we learned in a braisa, kideshu shnei mosar, so the Brisa teaches us, as I mentioned earlier, this is where I got it from, that there were 13 Kohanim involved in the bringing of the Korban Tomid. The one who shafted it technically did not have to be a Kohen, so technically it didn't require Kiddush Yedayim Raglayim. That was only by a Kohen doing the Avodah. So there were 12 Kohanim left, which we discussed earlier in the Masechta, what those 12 Kohanim did. They brought the six component parts of the behema up onto the Mizbeach, and then one had the chavitin, and one had the mincha, one had the yayin, etc. So we discussed this previously, what they did, and that one had to do the Kabbalah and the Zrika. So that's what those 12 Kohanim were doing. Hasukim betomid. So therefore, they could all do the Kiddush Yedayim Raglayim at the same time. Another Braisa Tana, Shachris B'miluo. Originally, when they had the kiar, there was only a spigot on the top and a spigot on the bottom. So in Shachris time, when it was filled up to the top, they used the spigot on the top. And then in the afternoon, after the water already come out, because people used it, so they used the spigot at the bottom. Arbis B'ri does so. So there was less water there, so they only filled up, they did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim from the bottom one. Then we mentioned as well, not only was Ben Kotin Zohar Latov making the Shnei Sadah, but he also made the Muchni, he made the lever system to allow the water to go and sink down into the well at night, so it wasn't a psul of Lina. What is this Muchni? My Muchni? This was a wheel, a galgal, that would lower the water from the kiar into the well, and therefore there was no psul of lina. Then we mentioned the munvas hamelech also koyodos hakelim v'chulei. Munvas was zochel atov because he made all the handles of the kelim out of gold. The more he asked the obvious question, he was a rich guy. He was a wealthy king. Navdinu ledidu dezohav. Why did he make the whole keli out of gold? Why did he only make the handles out of gold? And we turn to Lama Zayin and Mibbeis, and the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, v'yodos sakinin. We're talking about knives. So great, you can make the handle out of gold, but if you make the knife out of gold, it's not going to cut very well. Gold is not a very strong metal. And it would break very easily. It would bend very easily. And therefore, the last thing you want to do is make knives out of gold. Gemara says, okay, are you telling me that it was only knives that he made? And therefore, there's only handles that he made for knives? But the Gemara tells us elsewhere, Meisu, we learned in a Braisa, that Munvaz did other utensils also. Avhuasa kane kalim. He made the base. Kior v'yes kano is the basin and its base. So the kane kalim, he made the bases of various utensils. The ogne kalim and the handles for various utensils. The yados kalim and the handles of various utensils. The yados sakin and the handles of the knives. And all of these things, shal yom ha-kippur, that we use on Yom Kippur, he made them shal zav, he made them out of gold. So how can you tell me you only made the knives and the handles of the knives out of gold, because you can't make the knife out of gold? What about all these other kalim? The kane kalim, the ogne kalim, and the others kalim. So Gemara says the obvious answer, Tirgum Abaya. Abaya explains that these all were kalim that you couldn't make the utensil part out of gold. You could only make the handle out of gold. Because bekatosa the narge bechatzini. They're referring here to various types of cutting implements, various types of axes and planes that they would use. So obviously they can't be made, the utensil part can't be made out of gold because it would break, it wouldn't be functional. So he made all of those handles that they needed in Yom Kippur out of gold. Then he said his mother also was Zohar Latov, Zohar Latov, Hilni Imo, she made some sort of a device, a design, a candelabra that was over the Heichal that would shine off the sun. It would be very, very brilliant. Tanos, we learned in a Braisa, what was the purpose of this? Meshor Shecham Zerachas, when the sun rose in the morning and it would shine against this Nivreshes, Nitzotzos Yosef Yimena, all sorts of light would shine off it, it would sparkle and come off this Nivreshes, and everybody would know, they would know that the sun had rose, and therefore it was now Zman Kriyashma. Actually, as the sun starts to come up, you can see probably light already shining off this, and they would know that now it's Zman Kriyashma, so you can see it right before the sun fully rises. That's the optimal time, Kibbutz Sikin. Where it says, wait a second, Meisvei, we have another Braisa that tells us that Hakorias Shema Shachris, when a person reads Shema for the morning obligation to be Yotzei Kriyashma, you should do it in the right time. But if you do it in Anshe Mishmor, Anshe Maimon, if you do it at the same time that the Mishmor is starting to work on the Korban Tomit, which is earlier than the optimal time, albeit it's a kosher time, but it's earlier than the optimal time when the Mishmor, the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Anshe Maimon with the Yisraelim that would be serving on behalf of Klai Yisrael as the owners of the Korban. So you have all the people from the Mishmor, the Kohanim, and the Levim, and the Yisraelim all present. And they would say Shema before the Korban Tomit, so Yotza, you wouldn't be fulfilling your obligation in the optimal way if you said Kriya Shema with them, because it's a little bit too early. Because the Anshi Mishmor, they would give it very, very early in order to do the Korbanos. And then the Maimid, those were the representatives of half of Klai Yisrael, so they didn't say Shema until after the entire Korban Tomid was brought. So they would say it later in the day, albeit still within the Zman of Kriya Shema, but not in the optimal time of Kriya Shema. So what was the benefit of this that we said that everybody would know? Hakol yodim sheyiz man kriyas shema. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye l'shar ama de Yerushalayim. This would be for the rest of the people in Yerushalayim. They would be able to see this. It was so shiny. It was so brilliant. The light would be reflected off it in such a beautiful way. So everybody in Yerushalayim would say, oh, if we see the light in the base of Mikdash, we know that the sun has definitely risen. Then it says in the Mishnah of Afi also Tabla, where also Zuchur Latov, Hilni was mentioned in a praiseworthy way, that you also made this golden tablet, and they wrote the Parsha of the Sota on it, so they didn't have to take a Sefer Torah out. If Rahman al Islam, there was a Sota, and they had to go and make her drink the May Sota, so they had to write the Parsha and then erase it, and then she drank that with the water. So Gemara says, Shamas Minah, we learn from here, Kosvin Megillah Latinuk Lislamid Ba. Just like you're allowed to write the Parsha of Sota alone, so too when a Rebbe is teaching a Talmud, he's allowed to write just that Parsha. He's teaching Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim V'Haaretz. He can just write down that Parsha. They could hand out the sheets. In those days, they also had sheets being handed out, not the same way that we have them today, but they would write the on the Luach, on some sort of a tablet for the little children, but they didn't take a whole Sefer Torah. So therefore, you see clearly from the fact that they allowed Hilni to write up the Parsha of Sota, so you're allowed to write up a part of the Torah Shevach Sav without having to write the whole Torah Shevach Sav. And therefore, the Rebbe could write for the Tinok, Lislami Ba. Mor says, not necessarily so. Amar Rish Lakish, Mishum Rav Yadeh. Rish Lakish said, in the name of Rav Yadeh, not necessarily so. Maybe all that Hillel and Yamalka did was write the Aleph Beis. The Aleph Beis, they just wrote the first letter of each word. So this way, a person who knows what's going on would not leave out a word. He would know what the words represented. He just wrote down basically a nutriko, some sort of a shorthand form of the parsha. So when they're writing down the parsha, they didn't actually write down the whole parsha. They just wrote down the first letter of each word. So that's what Rish Lakish said. So you don't bring me a riot from here that a Rebbe is allowed to write down a Megillah for a Tinuk Lislamid Ba. Whereas it's not so fast, we disagree with Reish Lakish, Mishum Rav Yanai, Meisvei, the Braisa tells us, Kishu Kosev, it says when the Kohen writes down the Parsha of the Sota, he takes this Tavla of Hilni, Roe, he looks at it, the Kosev, Masha Kosev, the Tavla, and he writes, seemingly, word for word, what's in that Tavla. So that's a Kasha on what Reish Lakish said, Nimer Rav Yanai. So the Gemara says, no. Ema, Roe, he looks at the abbreviations, that's what Rabbi Shlokh is saying in Rabbi Yanai, because he'd come on Shikos of the Tabla, and he would write out based upon what he saw in the Tabla, but he didn't write down the entire Parsha, therefore you can't bring me right that a Rebbe is allowed to write down an entire Parsha for the Talmud to learn. Try again. Meisvei, we learn a different brisa. It says here, Befeirish, Kishu Kosev, when the Kohen writes the Parsha of the Sota to have it be erased, Roe, he looks at the Kosev, Masha Kosev, the Tavla. Here it seems to say, Befeirish, that on the Tavla, everything was written out. Because Uma Kosev, the Tavla, here it says, Befeirish, what was written on the Tavla? It says, Im Shachav Isho Soch. And then it says, Vim Lo Shachav. And then it says, Im Sotis. And then it says, Im Lo Sotis. So it seems to say that every word was written down. Kasha and Reish Lakish, Mishum Rav Yanai. Shmuel says, no, not necessarily so. Hasam, when it says over here in this braisa, Roe v'kosev, mashakosev v'tabla, im shachav isho soch, im lo shachav im sotis, im lo sotis, return to Lamed Chesamad Aleph. It meant that they wrote it b'sirugin. In other words, they wrote it skipping words. They only wrote the highlights. They wrote the Rashi Prakim. So they wrote the first words, im shachav ish osoch, but they didn't write the rest of it. And they wrote the next Rashi Prakim, im lo shachav. And then they only wrote the first letter. So it was a combination of, they wrote the Rosh Prokim, they wrote Im Shachav Isho Soch, and then they wrote only abbreviations for the rest of the words until they came to the next paragraph of Lo Shachav, and then they only wrote the abbreviations for the rest of the words, etc., etc. This way, Reish Lakish Mishum Rav Yanai is still potentially correct. Now we finally come to the end of the Mishnah where we quote, Niknor Nasu Nisim L'dal Sosach. The end of the Mishnah, it says that Niknor was Zochel Atov because of the Nisim that happened to the doors that he brought. What was that? Neis Tanarban. The Bryce explains, Ma Nisim Nasu L'dal Sosach. What happened to his doors? So Omru, the Bryce tells us, they said, Kishaloch Niknor Lohavid L'Losos Me'alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. Niknor went to Alexandria Mitzrayim. Must have been a famous place where it was well known that they made very, very nice copper doors. And therefore he went there and bought special, special copper doors for the Shar Niknor, for what would be the Shar that was in between the Ezra's Noshim and the Ezra's Anoshim. And he paid a lot of money for it. And Bechazirasso, when he was on the boat coming back, Omar Alov Nachshol Shebayom Letobo, a big storm came and waves came and it was about to sink the boat. So the sailor said, the boat's going to go down, we have to lighten the load, and therefore, not lu achas mehem, they took one of the two gates that he bought, and v'itilu aliyam, they threw it into the ocean. Nevertheless, v'adayin lo noach hayam mizapo, but the storm still was going full force, and they were about to throw the other board over. Bikshu lahatil es chaverta, they would take the second board and throw that over as well. And amahu ukrocha, so he stood and he wrapped himself around it, and he said, amalahem, if you're going to throw this over, you're going to throw me over as well. Hatiluni ima, throw me over as well. And when those words, miyad noch hayam mizapo, Hashem saw his zeal in protecting the door, and Hashem made the storm go away, and they didn't have to throw the board, the door, or him overboard. And when he saw that Hashem made an ace for him, he felt very bad. He said, oh, why didn't I stand up sooner? The Ben Yehuda explains, why didn't he stand up sooner? He said, he didn't realize at that point in time that it would work and that an ace would occur. But when he saw that the first door didn't make the storm stop, so he said, I'm going to now not let them throw the second door over. And he said to protect the second door. When that worked and Hashem made an ace, now he felt terrible that he didn't do the same thing for the first door. And what happened? They got to the port city of Akko. They traveled from Alexandria, Mitzrayim, to the port city of Akko. Kivan Shigil in the Molo Shal Akko. A miracle occurred that the board that was thrown overboard didn't sink, it didn't go away, but it stayed by the boat the whole time. They were able to save that gate, that door. Alternatively, some say, Birya Shabayam Balasa, a huge whale came to stomach, some creature from the ocean came and swallowed it, and now when they reached shore, Vekiato Liabosha spit it out, it vomited it out to the ground. And therefore, Shlomo Melech said about these gates, these doors. Now, Shlomo Melech, of course, lived earlier than this, so it's prophetic when he says this over here in Shir HaShirim, that he said, Koroz Botenu Arozim, that the beams over here of the Beis Hamikdash are made out of cedar wood, Arozim, Rohitenu Berosim, and the doors, Rohitenu, they're made out of Berosim. Now, read the word Berosim not as a cypress or Berosim, Altikri Berosim, Ella, read it, Ella Brias Yam. It's a play on the word Berosim, not for a certain type of wood, a cypress, but a play on Brias Yam, alluding to the nace that would occur to Nikdar. And Lafikach, therefore, when they became wealthy and they were able to replace the gates, and originally were very poor, and suddenly they get more wealthy in the Bayi Sheni. So Lefiko Kol Asharim Shayu BaMikdash, they eventually changed the Nishtanu Liyoshul Zod. They changed them from being wood into gold. However, the one that they left was the copper gates of Niknor, Chutz Mishari Niknor. Why? Nation Asubol Nisim, because great miracles, as we just said, happened to them. Alternatively, the Yeshomim, others say that no, these copper doors were so shiny and brilliant. Nation Chushton Mutzheves, I say, it was so shiny, so why replace it with gold? It looked just as good as gold. So that's why they didn't replace it. Finally, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Amer, Nechoshes Kloniso Haisa, it was made out of a very, very, very fine type of copper, Vaisa Me'ira Kishozov, and it shone just like as if it was gold, and therefore there was no reason to go and change it. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.